Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us and this next episode of our Business Resiliency podcast. I'm David Sutton, Principal at GHJ, and today I'll be speaking with Deanne Ackerson, co-founder of Kindred Bravely. Deanne, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. And so, look, you've been through, you know, the full cycle. You saw a gap in the market. You had a vision to fill that gap, you executed, and then you've exited to private equity. Can you walk us through that journey? And I think our listeners would just love to hear about that whole cycle for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really began with a personal need that I had. Our youngest son was breastfeeding, and I couldn't find what I was looking for in a comfortable, functional, and cute pair of nursing pajamas. And so after looking everywhere and not finding, you know, an acceptable product on the market, my husband and I got to thinking, who better than us to bring about this product? And really, this was the vision for the brand. So it came out of a personal need where I needed something. I knew I couldn't be that different from other breastfeeding moms in, you know, what I was looking for in my clothing options. And so that was, you know, the gap we saw. My husband has a background in entrepreneurship. So he did a little diligence, and within 2 weeks we had founded Kinder Bravely and we, you know, hit the races. So then, you know, this is kind of a long cycle, so I won't bore you through with all the details, but it was just him and I working on Kindred Bravely nights for about 8 months. You know, like, it was bootstrapped from the beginning. So it was after his day job was over and the kids were finally asleep that we would pour our hard efforts into it. And then, you know, it changed. You know, the second year, it wasn't just us, and we started to hire a team. And then, you know, very quickly it started to get feet under it. And then not just feet, but why there were wings. And, you know, we were growing. And in this thing, and I didn't realize it at the beginning, really resonated with other moms. And so people started asking us, would you like, you know, funding? And I didn't really have a vision those early years about what success would look like. But as, you know, the more that Garrett and I poured ourselves into the company, the more it made sense for us as a family, you know, to have a portion go to private equity and actually, you know, have an exit event. Otherwise it was kind of like a theoretical something that we had created, and it hadn't like created that value that we were looking to for our family. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a very broad overview, but if there's certain details of that cycle you'd like to hear about, I can definitely tell you more about that growing journey.
Yeah, and this one thing that you mentioned, Deanne, which when I ask my next question, I think it would be great to hear about particularly as well. And given your success, what led you to exit during the pandemic particularly? And obviously, none of us chose the timing of the pandemic. But the thing that you mentioned was, as you developed from concept to, you know, a fuller operation and hiring a team, I think we'd love to hear about the strength in the depth and breadth of that team as you went through the process, through COVID, through the M&A process, and really just the value of having the team around you to go through both of those things at the same time, which is a phenomenal achievement.
Yeah. Well, I truly can't speak too high of my team. Like, they are the best team in the world for sure. And I heard early on, and this part was part of the early framework for how I view my team, is that a company's job is to take care of their team, and the team takes care of the customers, and then the customers come back to support the company financially. And so, like, having that kind of vision in my head of, you know, the team is our greatest asset. I think what's really neat and different about our team is that we were a remote team since inception. So, like, pre-COVID, before the whole world knew about Zoom, we were meeting and being productive over Google Hangouts, over Zoom. Like, we were always natively remote. And so that was a huge asset to us during the pandemic, because we weren't having to recreate our culture, the way we relate to each other, how we get business done. It actually wasn't a disruption to our work in the same way that it was to everyone else. Sure, we still dealt with the supply chain, okay? You know, there's that. But on a team level, you know, we just weren't struggling like the way we saw a lot of our counterparts struggling to kind of get with a new normal at the beginning of the pandemic. And so I think that probably led us to be able to capitalize on the timing and go ahead and have an exit during the pandemic, because we were not disrupted, so to speak. It was business as usual, and it was better business than usual. People were buying more online. You know, the trends have been going that way for the last, you know, pick a number of years, but they've certainly been going that way. But COVID just exaggerated that trend, exasperated it. And, you know, like all other e-commerce retailers, we saw things really spike up. And because we were ready to handle that demand, we were able to capitalize on it. And truly, it was, you know, like we had been formed for this event, you know, pandemic life.
The pandemic was, you were not only ready for it, but you capitalized on that when it did come about, which is, you know, speaks volumes for the team, the culture, how you position the business, and obviously the vision that you had right from the start.
Mm-hmm. You know, there were difficulties by having an exit during the pandemic. It was really hard for investors who were looking at our growth to not attribute our success during 2020 to what they would call a COVID effect, or, you know, a COVID bump. And it was really hard. And it wasn't until there was a bit of perspective to show that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't dropping off the way certain industries were, like, you know, health and fitness really ballooned for a while people were ordering their home gym equipment, but then it dropped back down. So it was a challenge in a way to show that, no, we're just growing this fast. This is what we do every year. It happens to be COVID and we're getting a little more than usual, but our customer already does shop in this manner because, you know, it's inconvenient to go into a brick and mortar store when you're pregnant, or especially if the baby's born. Like, you're not going to a store. It's hard enough to get out of your pajamas for the day. So, like,
right.
e-commerce is meeting our customer where she's at. But that definitely was a challenge that, you know, we had to go through as we were going through the process and valuing our business.
Which actually is a good segue to something that I wanted to ask you, Deanne, which is, you know, having been through that process, and a lot of companies are going through similar processes now, the M&A market is very strong, as I'm sure you're aware. What would you say are the main learnings that you would take away having been through that process? And for many folks, you know, it's either the first or only time that they would go through a full transaction cycle.
Yes.
What would you say are the learnings, your takeaways that might be beneficial to listeners who are going through that currently?
I learned a lot during our process. And I think the most important things I learned are that if you're thinking about being in a process, make sure you have surrounded yourself with the right people that do have more experience in it. Because, you know, most, like you said, most people are only going to go through it once. So you can't be an expert in it. So surround yourself with a couple of advisors that you really do trust that can tell you, is this the right time for you? Are you being undervalued, or is this the right time? Because you're certainly not going to know. You're not experienced in that if you're a business entrepreneur like I was. Something I learned is that, you know, good business is even more important while you're going through the process. So those things that you knew you should have been doing, the cleaned up financials, the record keeping, the, you know, the standard operating procedures, all of those folders that you've known for a while are not like quite in order. It it is this massive undertaking. I now know why it's called a process. So if you're not in a process yet, go ahead and get ready for one by cleaning up your house, so to speak. Get it ready, and you'll be surprised what you learn along the way, the places that it makes you stronger just for having, you know, cleaned things up. And it's definitely not too early to start cleaning things up, because it's all going to come out during the process, all of it, every single bit. So start to get it in order now.
Yeah, that's well said. I mean, a buyer will do their diligence, and that's not optional, right? Disclosure is not optional in that sense. But it speaks to the value of getting ready and the preparation, which is significant. So you're right to point that out.
And getting ready is not just having things in order, but you know what's important to people on the other side of the business. You have to know your numbers. You have to know where you can capitalize on. You have to know where there's room, you know, to go after the market in a different way. Like, you can do all of these things in preparation for a transaction, or you can also do them just because it's the next right thing to do in business as well. So either way, know your numbers, clean up a little bit, and surround yourself with an advisor that you really trust.
Oh, well said. And having been through that process, Deanne, and now sort of looking forward, and you're continuously and will continue to be involved with Kindred, what do you see as the next phase as the journey now that you have, you know, backing with TZP? Where do you see the company going? What's your next vision from here on out?
Yeah, well, I have to say TZP is a phenomenal partner, and they absolutely share our vision of creating comfort and community for nursing and expectant moms. So the next phase of the journey is still, like, we have a vision that every mom should have a comfortable nursing bra in her wardrobe. And so, like, that's the next phase. And we just, there's a lot more to do before that comes true, because there's a lot of moms that still haven't heard about Kindred Bravely. And so with TZP's help, you know, we're going to be expanding into retail and looking at other ways so that we can make that vision a true reality, where every nursing mom does have a comfortable Kindred Bravely bra in her wardrobe.
That's awesome. And, you know, I have to say that I admire the entrepreneurship, the passion, the drive. It's fantastic. And working with you was our pleasure, and proud to be part of your story as well.
Oh,
and congratulations to you and Garrett.
Thank you so much. And we so enjoy working with GHJ, no matter the project or, you know, strategic advice. Like, you guys are phenomenal. So thank you. Thank you for all that you did for us.
Well, Deanne, you know, we'd love to have you back at some point in the future as well. I know that some of our listeners may also want to connect with you and reach out if they have questions. So if you're open to maybe providing a couple of ways for folks to connect with you as well.
Yeah, sure. The best way to connect with me is if you go to our website, kindredbravely.com, and click the contact page. That will get routed over to me, and I'd love to hear from anyone.
Great. And you can reach GHJ as well through various different means, Twitter, LinkedIn, our website, ghjadvisors.com as well. Deanne, thank you for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure. We certainly would love to have you back on a future episode as well. And to our listeners, you'll hear from us again shortly. Thank you.
Thanks, David.